Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your name?
My name is Sean Evans, 210137.
Just one second. Would you like me to ask for the other?
No, I have it.
Right, sir. The next voice you will hear is our family, Ms. Rittenhouse. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Evans?
Yes, sir.
Could you please state your name and your ADC number for the record?
My name is Sean Evans, 210137.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We're here before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing, and this is concerning the two allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on April 19th. You signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. On that form are your hearing rights, and one of your rights is you can hire, at your expense, an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself. I can't afford an attorney, ma'am.
Okay, and the attorney's optional anyway. It's just your right. I'd like to introduce you to the board members. You see, we have three of us participating in the hearing. And if you look to your right, at that end of the bench, the other one for me, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll just be the lead today for this hearing. Also with us in the room, we have Mr. I'm going to try to show you this. Mr. Westby, and he's with the Department of Corrections. So we'll represent the department and the parole officer in today's hearing. So Mr. Evans and Mr. Westby, do you both solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Evans?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Thank you.
All right, let me get the camera back to the other angle.
There we go. Okay. Mr. Evans, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. With phase one, to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and then phase two, to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Evans, I'm going to read these allegations to you one at a time, and as I read each one, I need you to tell me if it's true or false. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
So, allegation number one is that you were in violation of condition number 7, demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about January 12, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated February 9, 2018. Mr. Evans, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, sir. The other allegation is that a violation of condition number 2, and that's demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your son parole officer by failing to report him for a face-to-face contact visit on or about January 18, 2018, as directed by your assigned parole officer, on January 4, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, and you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Evans, is that true or false?
That's true, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Evans's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of community supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Okay, agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Neal, and agreed by Mr. Quinones. Mr. Evans, the board has found you in violation of your conditions, and that was phase one of the hearing, but in phase two of the hearing, we determined whether to reinstate or revoke your supervision. So before we start into that, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to just fill us in with some background information. So just stay on the line. We'll be right with you in a second here. Mr. Westby. Thank you. Westby?
On January 3rd, 2018, Mr. Evans was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested April 8th, 2018 by Tempe PD, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on April 8th, 2018, with an adjusted CCD of October 18th, 2018, 80 abscond days. Current conviction, 2016, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1.5 years. Prior convictions, 2013, resisting arrest, 6 months. 2016, dangerous drug violation, 2 counts, each for 2.5 years. 2016, marijuana violation, 1 year. This is the second term of the Department of Corrections. CUIR score, 2-1. Mental health score, 3. Substance abuse score, 3. There's no remaining information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2006. Interstate compact, transfer from New York, abstended from supervision. 2012, interstate compact transfer from New York, absconded from supervision. 2013, TIS release, absconded 10 days, revoked by the BOEC. These disciplinary violations are minimal. Other arrest, 1989, robbery, New York, felony conviction, state prison. 1989, misconduct involving weapons, New York, felony conviction, state prison. 1994, controlled substance violation, New York, felony conviction, state prison. 1999, controlled substance violation, New York, felony conviction, state prison. 2009, theft, New York, felony conviction, state prison. 2014, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. This committee was scored as a G1B2.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Evans, you were approved to live at 2460 East Main Street in Mesa with your grandmother. Did you live there the whole time?
Yes, I stood there when I was released.
And that was the only place you stayed?
Yes, I stood there when I was released, but then, I had gotten high, and when I got high, everything went out the window.
Okay, did you stay there with your grandmother then, when she got high?
No, I would come back and forth to the street periodically, and I just didn't want to, for a little while, then I just stood in the street because I was getting high on drugs.
Okay.
And I didn't want anybody to see me like that.
You didn't want your grandmother to see you like that, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you just kind of were homeless sometimes?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and what drug were you using, sir?
I was using heroin and meth.
Okay, so have you used that since you've gotten back in prison?
Have I used the drug since I got back in prison?
Since you got arrested, yeah, came back to prison.
I haven't used any drugs since I've been in prison, but I've been tempted. It's not a temptation.
I bet. Well, then keep avoiding using that, because that's a difficult combination that you've got there. Difficult addiction. Were you working at all, sir, while you were out?
I was working doing a freelance barbering. I did acquire a job at Wicked Plumbing, and I got the job, but I had got pulled into the midst of my drug addiction.
Okay.
So I told them that I couldn't make it work there. But I did get the job. I did get hired, actually.
Okay.
And one day, my parole told me to come over there and report, and then when I got there, she told me to report a couple of days later, and that time when she told me to report a couple of days later, I was there. I dropped off my Arizona State from Arizona Western College of my plumbing knowledge.
Uh-huh.
I graduated the plumbing class.
Yeah.
And my birth certificate. And that's because I had to show her that, and then when I was there, she was like, well, come report a couple of days later, and I didn't report because I was already involved in my drug addiction.
Okay.
But I did try to, you know, if she was there, I would have probably told her that, you know, I'm getting high and this and that. And I just went from there. So
have you ever tried any drug treatment?
But since I came back here, I've been trying to get into the NA class, and I got a 90-day and 120-day waiting list. But one of the guys from the group came out and told me, he says, you go into the parole board. I says, yeah. He says, well, I know a good program that can help you out. So he explained it was an Ebony House, and I had a screening with my CO3, and Ebony House, and they accepted me. And it's a 90-day inpatient drug program. And I really want the drug program. I can do time, but it's not going to help me out. I'm 49 years old, man.
Uh-huh.
And I know I need help. I need to address my addiction. I need to address this problem, or I'm going to be going in and out of jail for the rest of my life.
Right.
And I don't want to die an addict.
Yeah. And
the
person who makes that decision about how good you're going to be successful is you. So you're the one that has to say, I'm going to be drug-free. So what were you doing when the Tempe Police Department picked you up? Why did they notice you that day?
Well, I was just sitting around in front of an apartment building right on the corner, and we were just sitting there and we were just talking. And the police came. I didn't even try to run or anything.
Right.
They said they were doing warrant checks. They were checking IDs, and they checked us and found out I had a warrant.
Okay. Who were you with that day?
Well, there was a girl named Victoria and a guy named Justin.
Oh, so just some friends. You were just with some friends?
Yeah, we were just right there, just hanging out, talking.
Okay.
And,
okay. So, sir, you absconded. You didn't stay in touch with your parole officer for 80 days. What were you doing? Why didn't you call your parole officer?
I was afraid to go back to jail. I tried to call my phone number off because I couldn't pay it and support my drug addiction at the same time.
Right.
And my phone just went off, so I couldn't call her anymore. And I was so far into my drug addiction, I started doing things my way and thought it was going to be, you know, my show to do things the way I was doing it, which was just getting high.
Right.
And not knowing what to do. And it was just a whole mess. And then anytime I get a chance, I would try to call my grandmother through using somebody else's phone. And I was just afraid to attempt my parole officer. And she tried to help me, you know. It's nothing's her fault. She really did try to help me. And she contacted, when my phone was on, she contacted me plenty of times. And, you know, I just wish I should have just contacted her. Maybe I might have had a chance to go in a drug program. Because I know that's what I really need, you know. I really want to address my issue. I'm an addict. And that's just simple. And I'm not trying to deny that. I'm not trying to make anybody feel sorry for me. But I know one thing in my life, I don't want to die about it. That's what I don't want to do. I think my life can mean something. I want my life to mean something at the end. So when I do die, at least I can be like, you know, I'm clean. You know, I have my things in the past, but right now, it's just, you know, it's hard.
I understood, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions from Mr. Quinones? Okay. Mr. Westby has a comment to add.
Yes, I just wanted to advise the board that per the Crawler notes here on this February 21st, 2018, Pro-Supervisor Oliveri has an entry that abscond reduction letter program letters were mailed to three different addresses of relatives or emergency contacts that he had advised him that if he did report that the warrant, you know, could possibly be quashed, but he did not report.
And was one of those 2460 East Main Street?
Yes, that was the first one. There was an address in Gilbert and an address in Queen Creek.
Okay, so the grandmother would have gotten his letter.
That was correct, plus a violation letter that Officer Palmer dropped off was over at the grandmother's
house. Was to that house, okay. Okay, so Mr. Evans, the department has a program called the Absconder Reduction Program, so that Mr. Westby was just explaining that a letter was sent to your grandmother's house, to you at your grandmother's house, saying that if you came in, that they would quash the warrant. So if you had done that, your parole officer really was working with you, sir. And you admit that.
She was.
Yeah, you admit
she was. I understand it.
Yeah.
I've never seen the letter, had the letter.
Okay.
I wasn't always around it. If I would have got that letter, I would probably would have made a difference with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm looking at myself right now, and I know I need treatment. I'm just asking if I'm given a chance to be this inpatient. It's 90 days. I spoke to the intake coordinator. And I don't want to be around people that have the same problem like me.
Right.
And I don't know how long I'm going to be strong in here. At least I know that there's no drugs over there. And that I can get some really help to address my sickness or the condition. And, she said if I wasn't to be reinstated, they have a bed ready for me.
Okay.
By next week.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
So, the boys, we're coming to the end of your hearing. I wanted to just give you, is there anything else you thought of that you want to tell the board without repeating something you've already told us? Just a little opportunity to make a final statement. Anything else you can think of?
Yes, I would just like to say that I take full responsibility for my actions. And that I'm very remorseful. And that, my condition, and that, you need to take my condition and my request and consideration, really. And I do also have a place of employment if I'm released at a barber shop, because I do have a barber's license.
Okay, good.
That's basically as much as I can say.
All right, sir, thank you.
Just being honest.
Okay, we appreciate that. The board has been going to discussion. We do all the discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we haven't talked about your case before right now. So what that means is we just need you to stay on the phone, listen to the discussion, just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a short time here, sir, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, so the board is now in discussion. Mr. Evans is, I believe, very sincere about wanting to end his drug addiction issues. He has not really participated in treatment before, so I think based on the conviction I hear in his voice, I think he could be successful at treatment. The unfortunate thing in this case is that this board does not have the authority to place him in treatment. That is something he could do. Certainly his parole officer could have placed him into one of the release centers, MRC or PRC, but this board does not have that authority. I do think he is in need of treatment, and I think he'll do well in treatment. But based on the fact that he is absconded, and he is absconded in previous terms of community supervision, I'm not seeing him as a good candidate to return to community supervision now. He'd be free, of course, to participate in treatment upon his release from the department in October. And in the interim, to become involved in NA classes or AA even at the prison there. But I'd be willing to listen to any input from fellow board members. Okay. Based on information in Bullet 2018W0418, information provided by Mr. Westby and our discussion with Mr. Evans, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Evans was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had Baxter was about to lapse into criminal ways of company, specifically by absconding for 80 days, during which time he admits he was getting high, And his parole officer was unable to maintain contact with him.
Second. Agreed.
Okay, seconded by Mr. Pino, and agreed by Mr. Pino. Okay, Mr. Evans, you heard that little bit of discussion we did. We do believe you're going to be successful at kicking your addiction, but a very difficult addiction situation. So, but at this point, this board is, we're not the Department of Corrections. We're a separate entity. So we have no authority to place you anywhere. I think you've got a good place lined up, a good place in mind for when you're released. Your release date right now is showing in October. So in the meantime, we ask you to use that conviction that we just heard in your voice to stay strong while you're there. Participate in NA and AA to the degree you can. Surround yourself by some, there's got to be some other people there where you are that are not interested in drugs. Make those people your friends and hang out with them and be strong for each other. And we appreciate very much your attitude in today's hearing. And we certainly wish you the best. And you've got a very difficult addiction to deal with. But we're confident you can do it, so. Okay, Mr. Evans? Yep. So this ends your hearing. So if you give the, just lay the phone down and give it back to the CO3. Okay?
Thank you, God bless.
Thanks so much.